much we have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. One by one, the enemy is whispered lies and let them off.
When things get tough, when you're tired and weary, when you're feeling run down, when the burden of responsibility is heavy and the voices in your head start to speak negative thoughts, you'll reach a fork in the road and you'll have to make a decision. And today this message is about how to weigh up what decision to make, what's the best decision. And David's got a message for us to think about. So today we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 27. And last week I looked at two mistakes that David made as a result of being run down, emotionally weary and tired. And remember, for 10 years now, Saul had been pursuing David, trying to kill him, for no good reason. David had done nothing wrong. And at this stage, David is leading 600 men, and they've got wives and they've got children, and they're wandering through the desert and the wilderness, and David has to find provision for them. He has to find protection for them, a place to sleep. He's got Saul hot on his tail, and he's got to protect and direct. And this burden of responsibility is starting to weigh heavy on David. These people have no place to call home, and they too are tired and weary. Three mistakes. Last week we looked at the first one. He really didn't stop and inquire of God before engaging with Saul. He just went ahead and did what he thought he should do. And I don't believe he really fully understood God's purpose for David in the wilderness and the lesson that God was trying to teach him, because he didn't stop and really and ask God. The second mistake that he made was a serious theological error. He started thinking that God had abandoned him, that he was all alone. And he'd forgotten that God made promises to Abraham and to Moses, revealing himself as the great I am. I am with you. I am with you wherever you go. And the promises that God made to those guys, David seemed to have forgotten. And today we're going to look at the third mistake that David made. I want you to pause here and read the chapter for yourself, 1 Samuel chapter 27. I want you to see if you can actually think about what mistake it is David made. How did you go? Did you read the chapter? How did you go? Did you find the answer? So for me, the answer stood out in verse 1. Verse 1 says, David kept thinking to himself. David kept thinking to himself. He kept thinking that Saul is going to get me someday. The best thing I can do is to escape to the Philistines. And then Saul will stop hunting for me in the Israelite territory and I will finally be safe. I'm not sure if you heard that, but he started having voices in his head. He was thinking to himself, and the voices in his head were starting to give him counsel. He didn't say, after a long sleepless night on my knees with God, God told me that I needed to, can't trust Saul and I need to run and take refuge amongst the Philistines. No, this was a voice in his head. These were voices in his mind that were telling him. I'm not sure about you, but usually when the voices in my head start talking to me, they're usually negative voices. They're voices that aren't telling me the right thing to do. Especially when I'm tired and run down, voices start saying, you're not smart enough, you can't do this. Just give up. It's too hard. Find an easier road. Do something else. It's got to be easier than this. And you know the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And usually we only start looking on the other side of the fence when things get tough, when things get hard, when hardship comes, when people start to criticize, when we feel like we're being constantly judged. Then we usually start looking for an easier road, an easier path to take. And that's where David is at the moment. And usually when we're tired and when we run down, that little voice gets louder and louder. The problems seem to get bigger and bigger in our mind to the point where that's all you can think about. And the voices are almost deafening. And we start looking for a way out. And we usually turn it into a fight or a flight response. Some people get angry and frustrated and they lash out. And other people just flee and they go in a different direction. David finds himself in an interesting dilemma. I find this interesting that it seems to me that the voices in David's head turned out to be a bigger Goliath than the actual 9-foot giant that David faced when he was younger. This young David, when the Goliath challenged him, David stood up to him. This time, the voices in his head are loud and he's considering running. This isn't the David we know. You know, 10 years ago, if Saul had threatened David and said, go and live somewhere else, David would have stood his ground and said, no, this is my country. This is where God wants me. But these voices in his head are shouting threats and he's thinking, how can I get out of here? And David wants to turn and run into the world, run from God. He knows this isn't from God. He knows in last chapter he was talking about the fact that the worst thing could possibly happen to him would be that if he had to go and live amongst the Philistines, he says, far from God. So David knows that this isn't God's will for his life. He's going to live amongst these pagan people. In fact, David says to himself, this is the best thing that I could do. These are the voices in his head. This is the best thing for you. And so he listens to the voice in his head and he moves to the Philistine territory and he lives in a little town called Ziklag. He fills up the whole town. So we know that there's upwards of 1,000 people living in his village, in his town. And it wasn't long before David had to answer to this king, and it wasn't long before he started to compromise and lie to the king about where he'd been and what he'd done. He'd been raiding villages close by and killing every single person in the village, men, women and children, donkeys, animals. He left nothing alive because he didn't want to be found out. David was killing people in order to cover his own sin. This is the start, and David will do this again in the future and gets himself in a lot of trouble. So in chapter 28, the next chapter, David even lines up against Israel to fight with the king of the Philistines against Israel. What I think David really needed was a mentor at this point. He really needed someone to come alongside him and just be a voice of reason. Unfortunately, Samuel had passed away, and Samuel had been a real concrete foundation for David to stand on and advise. Now he's got no one. He really could have done with a Saul, a King Saul, who's made mistakes in his life and come alongside and said to David, I've made mistakes, David. I'm not perfect. But here's some advice, something I've learned from God. Don't get too big for your boots. If God tells you to do something, then just do it with your whole heart. Don't take shortcuts. Don't compromise when it comes to God. Saul could say, I did. And the result is I lost my kingship. My son Jonathan would have been ruler, but now he won't be wearing the crown. And what David needed was some godly counsel. What David needed was to spend some time with God, just listening to God and being directed by God. Over the course of my life, I've known a lot of people and friends who've got to this point in their life when they're weary, when they're tired, when they feel like they're being judged, when voices in their head start telling them to take this other road. And they make these decisions, and I'm guilty of it as well. We reach points in our life where we think it's got to be easier somewhere else. And we run into the world. We go to the world for comfort. We seek refuge in the world. Now, the truth is that when you're tired and weary and run down, the appeal of the world does look like it's the best way to go. It's definitely easier than living as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. In the world, you can make your own rules. You can live to please yourself. You're not accountable, really, to anyone. If you have to lie, cover your tracks, that's okay. If you have to compromise, then it's no big deal. But it's harder in the kingdom because we are accountable to God. We're kingdom citizens and we live to please God. We work to do our best for God. We live to please Him by the way we live. We don't cheat people. We live to serve other people. We don't compromise. It's not an easy road, the kingdom road. In fact, Jesus tells us right at the start, before you enter this kingdom, He says, you need to know this, that if you want to be my disciple, then you need to lay down your life. You need to give up your own agenda. You need to deny yourself. These are things, these are kingdom principles that Jesus says, we love others just as much as we love ourselves. We put others first. We share with what we have. It sounds difficult. So why would anyone want to follow Jesus? People who follow Jesus are like David. We know deep in our hearts that there is a truth there, that God loves us, that God cares for us. David knows that. David knows that living God's way is the right way, even though it's a hard way. It's not easy. He knows that there's a kingdom to come, that this world is not the end. There's a future, and that the King of the world, Jesus, will come and rule the world and will make it a great place to be. He'll deal with the injustice, the famines and the sickness and the wars. He'll deal with those things. And he knows that despite the hardship, and we know that despite the hardship, there's joy and there's peace and there's love. All comes from knowing God. And David knows that the door into the kingdom of heaven is entered on this side from the world. It's the only way you can enter the kingdom is in this world. It's a step of faith through this door. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus tells his disciples that if you want this door to be opened, all you have to do is knock. He just says, come to the door and knock, and the door will be opened for you. So if you're like David and you find yourself on this verge of two ways to live, two ways to go, not sure what to do, if you're feeling that you're run down and you're weary, it's probably not the best time to make life-changing decisions. I'd encourage you to stop and just spend some time with God. Don't do what David did. He was rash. God knows he has a plan for your life and he wants to direct your life. Spend some time with him. Seek some godly counsel. Go and ask a man or a woman in the church, someone that you trust, what they think about your future, and spend some time mentoring and praying with those people through your life decisions. Don't make these rash decisions. I know that it seems it's like it's the right thing to do, to go and live in the world. We can justify that because people have hurt us or said things to us. Like Saul, you know, Saul is not representing God. He's the king of Israel, but he's not representing God. God loves you. God cares for you. God wants you back into his home. And when you knock on the door will be opened by a person called Jesus, and he'll welcome you. He won't condemn you or judge you for the past. He just wants you back home. Be courageous. Make that decision today. Make that step of faith through into the kingdom, and you'll find this God who loves you, accepts you the way you are. Now let me pray for you today. Father God, we thank you for your love, for your care. And Lord, there are times in our life when we are tired and run down and we feel a million miles from you. And sometimes we make decisions that look for the easy way out. Lord, I just pray that today you'll be with us, that you'll continue to lead us and guide us. I pray for those people today, Father, who feel far from you and feel judged and criticized. Lord, that they would know that you love them and that you care for them, and that they would feel your presence in speaking to them right this moment. I pray that they'd have the courage to knock on the door and enter into the kingdom and feel at home. I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
But we know that you are God. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call mighty God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the way. Breath of God, now breathe.